The second of two on the sugya of Ra'uha Medaberes. And it's really a sugya that started on Yigim Alamed Aleph, but it bleeds over onto Yigim Alamed Beis, and we'll be seeing Gemaras on both today. Last time, we started our discussion with the issue of the woman's chazaka of marriageability, how a woman loses the chazaka of marriageability, what's driving Rabbi Yoshua. We went through the sugya. And we asked Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Eliezer, who take her at her word, regarding the man she was with, is that just based on her bari? Do we require a rove? Do we require two roves? How does that work? And then at the end, we started on, but did not complete, the issue of the word medaberes, and understanding the position of Ze'iri, because the Mishnah said, we're going to walk through the Gemara itself, but the Mishnah had said, Ra'ua Medaberes, you see her talking, and we understood from Ze'iri that meant she was alone with the guy, and we understood from Rav Asi that meant that we actually knew that Bia had taken place with the guy, and we said, well, Rav Asi, if it means Bia, why did it say Medaberes? And we gave the answer, right, Lishna Ma'al Yanakat, but what about Ze'iri? If Ze'iri believes that what happened was Yichud, then why didn't it say Nistara instead of saying Medaberes? So, right, that's where I want to pick up, is that discussion of what happened to Ze'iri, what does Ze'iri think is going on? And then, I want to move from that into a discussion about, I have to look at my own notes to remember because it was a couple of days ago, the difference between our Mishnah and Shtuki. Is our Mishnah a Shtuki case? Is our Mishnah something else? That will also necessarily overlap with the discussion of Ledivrei HaMachshirba, Machshirba Bita, or Posel Bita. Not sure to what extent. We'll see. And then, if there's time after that, I have a Pesach Vort that we can use, as well to get in a little bit of a Inyan HaDiyoma as Chodesh Nisan begins, this Thursday. So, in terms of Ze'iri, going back to the Gemara, in source Aleph, a lot of people are very machmer. The Shloshim Yom Kodim Lachag, they're already involved in the Chag and not in anything else. They can only be involved in the Chag. So I'm not sure how many people saw Ksuvos this past week. But take a look at source Aleph. The Mishnah said, Ra'uah medaberes en echad, they saw her speaking with somebody, with a man, Va'amru la mativo shalish zeh, and they asked her, what's the deal with this guy? And she says, Ish ploni v'koeinu, it's so-and-so, he's a Kohen. Meaning, his yichus is good. That's the point of saying that he is a Kohen. So Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Eliezer say, Ne'emenes, she's believed. Rabbi Yeshua says, Lo mipianu chayin. What are you talking about? We don't trust her. We assume she is be'ula l'nasin u'la mamzer. We talked about last time why specifically nasin and mamzer. We're going to come back to that a little bit. But she is treated as though she now has a disqualification for future relations with a Kohen, let's say, Ajitavi Raya Ledavara, until she proves that what she's saying is true. Then, the second case, Haisa Me'uberes. What if she is pregnant? They ask her what's the nature of the kid. She says the father, again, is so-and-so the Kohen. Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Eliezer say, Ne'emenes. Rabbi Yeshua says, no way. So the Gemara asks, "My medaberes, what did it mean when it said that she was speaking? Is Rabbi Yoshua really seriously going to say that we now disqualify her status because she was talking to a man?" So Ze'iri Amar Nistara. Ze'iri said, no, she was alone with the guy. Rav Asi said, Nivala. It's talking about where she had Bia with the guy. And the Gemara asks, as I just said, Bishlama le Ze'iri hanu diksani medaberes. That's fine for Ze'iri. I understand why it says medaberes. El Rav Asi, my medaberes, but according to Rav Asi, what does medaberes mean? Lishna ma'alya. It's just Lishna ma'alya. It's a higher form of speech, and they quote the pasuk from Mishlei, in which a woman who was involved with niuf, with adultery, she eats and she wipes her mouth, and that's the reference to the act of adultery. So too here, it says medaberes. That was the basic Gemara. So again, our question is, it's also a substitute. Medaberes is a substitute for Yichud, for Ze'iri. Why doesn't the Gemara deal with that? So our first answer came from the Rashash. And the Rashash's answer was that Medaberes actually means Nistara. Medaberes means nistara, either directly means she was alone, or it means she was led into. And I brought you again on the sheet, source Beis, where Rashi in Tehillim says Vayadber is either Vayaharog, Lashon Dever, or Vayinhag, the two lead, the Tamid Dimitargim, the Dabar. So it means she was led into being alone with the guy. That's Rashash's first approach. He then has a second approach to suggest medaberes means specifically tiflus uznus. There was not just random speech, but it was the type of speech that happens in private. It was speech which was lewd speech. This is also found in the Shita Mekubetzes from the Gaonim in source Dalet. So our first answer is, the reason why we say Ze'iri is fine with it saying medaberes is because medaberes means yichud. Simple, straightforward. Right? This is familiar? Okay, if not familiar from last week, it's at least, you know, saying it a second time, it's clearer this time. The second idea, also from Rashash, is that it's not Lishna Ma'alya for Ze'iri, it's Lashon Naki. There is a difference between Lashon Naki and Lishna Ma'alya. Literally, Lashon Naki means clean speech. Lishna Ma'alya means higher speech. But the Rashash writes in Source Hay that the distinction between the two is Lashon Naki is when you use clean speech where everybody knows the meaning of what you are saying. What you are saying is clear. So as an example, when the Gemara talks about using the term Einena Tehora, instead of saying Tamei, everybody knows what that means. Einena Tehora means Tamei. You're just using a cleaner way of expressing it. As opposed to Lishna Ma'alya, where the person who doesn't know what you're trying to say is completely lost. So the Gemara in the beginning of Psachim, where Orlar Ba'asar really means Laila, somebody who doesn't understand the context and the way in which you're presenting it thinks Or means light. They have no idea what you're talking about. That is, according to the Rosh, Lishna Ma'alya. So Lishna Ma'alya is unclear euphemism. I gave the example last time of Lashon Sagi Nahar, when you say about somebody who can't see that he is full of light. That's the case of Lishna Ma'alya. Lashon Naki, on the other end, is just using a clear but clean way of expressing things. So the Rashash says, the Iri believes that midaberes is very clear. Everybody knows midaberes means nistara. And that's what we meant when we said bishlama l'ze'iri. It's fine according to Ze'iri. Ze'iri knows that the language that we're using is clean, clear language. There's a Tosfos that supports this idea in Meseches Sota, where Tosfos says, if you take a look at source Vav, he's commenting on a Mishnah, which we're actually, yeah, might as well see the Mishnah first. I brought it in the Yerushalmi in Source Zion, so you can just take a look at it there. The Mishnah says, Ketzad humekanela, how does a guy do kinui for his wife? Amar la bifnei shnayim al tedabriim ishploni, if he says in front of two people, don't be alone with so-and-so, Vidibra imo, and then she, in fact, goes and speaks with the guy. Adayin muteres lebeso, muteres locha betruma. She's still mutter. Why? As I added in brackets, because your kinui didn't mention seser. It didn't mention being alone together. Satosvos commenting on that in source Vav says, Perish demas nisen did dibor stirohu, midiksani ketzin mekane. He says, when it uses the language of Dibur, that really does mean stira, really does mean to be alone. From the fact that it's talking about giving kinui, ketzad mekane, kinui has to be, don't be alone with the guy. The lashon naki, and it's just lashon naki, and he quotes our Gemara in Ksubos. So Tosfos says explicitly, that medaberes is lashon naki for stira. That's Tosfos, and the Yerushalmi, which Tosfos quotes, says the same thing. If you look at the Yerushalmi in Sor Zion, the Yerushalmi writes, and I added heavily bracketed words to just make it, you know, flow more easily for us. Sov davar ad she tedaber imo, until she speaks with him, ein asota, she's not asota. This is the implication of our Mishnah. I'm just reading my bracketed words as well. She Mishnah seinu mashma she tzricha dibur beseser. Our Mishnah implies that she's not asota unless there actually is a conversation in private. Ha'im nistra imo v'lo dibra ein stirasa klum. Does that mean that in the event that she's alone with the guy And there's no speech. They're silent. They're alone, but they're silent. You're going to tell me that she's not a sota? Dibra asa me murlach afilu dibra imo velo nistera adayini muteris lebesa o muteris locho betruma. No, the point is, by mentioning speech, what we're trying to say is if she speaks to him but she's never alone with him, she's still mutter to the husband, because the kavanas al tedabri, he alt history. The kinoi meant don't be alone. So saying to her, don't speak to the guy, really meant don't be alone with the guy. And therefore, for her to speak to the guy in public is not a violation of the kinui. Point for us is what the Yerushalmi just said. The Yerushalmi just said, al tidabri means al tistiri. It means don't be alone. That's the Yerushalmi. So the Rashash suggests that it's very clear to everybody that this is lashonaki, it's just not lishna ma'aliyah. That was the second approach that we brought last time, and I noted the article from this fellow we saw Baruch Ladyav, the Geder Lishna Ma'aliyah Lashon Nakiya. You can find it on Otzer, where he takes issue with the Rashash's distinction. Those are the two answers that we gave at the end of Shir last time. Yeah.
Can I ask a potentially off-topic question?
By all means.
I mean, Nedarim. If someone takes a Neder using Dibur,
yeah.
Would we say that has stira connotations? Like isn't
that's what the Yerushalmi thinks, right? The Yerushalmi says when the man says al tidabri, he really means al tistiri. Now the question with nedarim is the problem of lashon b'nei adam number one, and number two, dvarim shebalei v'enam dvarim. Right, we don't care what you were thinking.
That dibur in Lashon B'nei Adam does mean stira. I mean, I guess that's what I'm asking.
Yes.
Would mean that if I took a neder, I'm not going to speak to someone.
Right. The question is, would we consider this Dvarim Shebalev, or would we consider this overt? And I think the argument here sounds like we consider it overt. It's an interesting question, but I think that seems to be the implication of this derech. The question, I guess, more broadly about nedarim would be, what room is there for Lishna Ma'aliyah or Lashon Naki in nedarim? Right? That's really the question, more broadly. The question is not, what's the application in this case? In this case, we're being very clear, he meant this. But, in general, if somebody uses euphemism when he takes an eder, how do we apply that? How's that going to work? Are we really going to say, ignore the words that he used, and just take it, take it in terms of what we know he meant? Welcome, Rabbi Nussbaum. That's the question. Yeah. Okay. So those are the two initial approaches to what happened to Ze'iri. Now we break new ground. And the third is from the Maharik. Maharik says, so an idea that we saw floated very quickly within the Rashash as well. And that is, midaberes doesn't mean any speech. Medaberes means lewd speech. And that's key for creating her iser. Meaning, Rabbi Yoshua is telling me, not if I see a woman talking to a guy, now we have a problem for her status. If she's talking to the guy in a particular way, if there's a particular kind of conversation, that's when we have concerns. Now, you may need to go to Beis Din to figure out what exactly constitutes that. It's going to be challenged. Like, was that conversation really lewd? Does that count? I don't know how Beis Din exactly is going to be magdir that, how they're going to define that. But I think that's where you're going with this. And you'll see how this plays out from the statement of the Bahag. The Bahag is quoted in the Smag, Lo Sase Kuf Chaf Aleph. I brought it for you here in source Ches. Kasav Bahag Behilchos Miun. Masha Shaninu Biksuvos, Ra'um Medaberes, Imish Echad, Ba'amrullah Mativo Shalish Zeb, Ba'amrish Poni Vakawainu, Ba'gamlio, Ba'zazar, Ba'amnunna, Menas Hasiel, Kahuna, that whole quote from our Gemara. When our Gemara says, Ba'gamlio and Ba'liazar believe her, she is still able to marry a Kohen. Umafarish Be'Gemara, my Medaberes, and the Gemara says, what does Medaberes mean? Ze'iri Amar Nistera, Ze'iri says it means being alone. Hani Mili Nistera im Yisrael. He says, that's only if she was alone with a Jew, says the Bahag. Aval nistera im hagoy, but if she was alone with a non-Jew, Harehi kishvuya, she is treated like a woman who was held captive. Upsula lekahuna, disqualified to a kohen. That's the position of the Bahag, based on what? Where did the Bahag invent this? From your Gimel Amid Beis. Take a look at source test where I brought you one line from your Gimel Amid Beis. This is Rabbi Gamliel speaking. Amar lahem, midaberes hainu shvuya. He said to them, the case of midaberes, as you are explaining, it seems to be the same as the case of a shvuya. So amru lo sha'ani shvuya derov ovdei kochavim prutzim ba'arayos heim. No, the answer is no, because Rov of the Kochavim are prutzim ba'arayos. They are people who you have to think something really is going to happen with, as opposed to the case of a Yisrael. Point for our discussion is that line, Rov akum prutzim ba'arayos, says the Bahag. Therefore, if she is alone with him, you have to assume that something happened. Azoy state. That's the position of the Bahag. The Ma'arik says, though, that's not the position of the Rishonim. That's not the position of Tosfos. That's not the position of the Rosh. That's not the position of the Mordechai, based on two passages of Gemara. First of all, well, actually, no, one passage of Gemara. It's all really based on, it's a little bit connected to, all right, let me not complicate things. It's primarily connected to the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, which I brought you here in Source Yud. Ha'isha shenechpesha bidei obdei kochavim al yedei mamon, if a woman is taken captive by idolaters, where they want to ransom her, they want money. They're not doing this in order to get her to leave Judaism. They're not doing this in order to harm her. They want a ransom, and therefore they are afraid to do anything with her because they don't want to do anything that would cause that potentially would cause a problem with their ransom operation. So mutaris labala. So afterwards she can go back to the husband. We assume they didn't touch her. Al yedei nefashos. Asura labala. If they were there to kill, then she's asur to the husband afterwards. That's the Gemara in Avodah Zarah. So that leads Tosfos to ask a question. You're telling me that only if it was for ransom is she mutter to the husband. If it's not for ransom, she's asura to the husband. So does that mean that any time a woman is now alone with a non-Jew, outside of where the non-Jew wants to ransom her, you have to assume that he abused her? Like, that's your assumption. Tosfos says, Im kein lo hinachta bas la'avram avinu eishes kohen yosheves tachas bala. He says, you're never ever going to have such a thing, right? You think that everybody is able to manage all the halachos of Yichud such that they were never ever alone with a non-Jewish guy. The eishes kohen is going to be a steward or a husband. It's impossible that she's never ever ever going to be alone with such a guy. And since there's no issue of him trying to ransom her, we're going to have to worry. So he first says, don't worry about it. This answer in the Gemara, this line in the Gemara is just the first phase. I just want to finish the Tosfos first. And then he says, or you could say, I believe what Tosfos is saying here is not to say only long yichud is aser. All yichud is aser. However, what we're saying is you're not going to prohibit her to her husband on the basis of being alone briefly, because the language of the Gemara was nechbisha. That was what you were going to say, Daniel. Yeah, the language of the Gemara was nechbisha. Nechbisha, tvichavush, means that she was there for a particular period of time under his control. It doesn't mean that they happen to be in an elevator. Shear that you're going to identify. That's not what we're talking about. That's the position taken by Tosfos here. It's also the position taken by the Rush. I didn't bother bringing it on the sheet because it's basically word for word the same thing. It's the Rush and Avodah Zarah base. It doesn't apply to a brief yichud situation. The Mordechai asks the same question, not based on the Gemara of Avodah Zarah, but based on the Gemara that we have already seen, where we talked about the statement of Ein Osrin al Hayichud. We said we don't prohibit a woman to her husband based on having been alone with somebody. So the Mordechai asks, Vim Tomar, the Mordechai at the end of Kiddushin, if you look in the Ma'arik, in the Bar Ilan version of the Ma'arik, they tell you the Mordechai is in Ksuvos. And I spent a good amount of time hunting for this Mordechai in Ksuvos. Before I said, okay, there's a reason you have a Bar Ilan, and I searched for it and found it in Kiddushin. But he says, V'im tomar, v'aperek sheni de Ksuvos t'nan, al yidei mamon muteres labala, we say in Ksuvos, which is the Gemara in Avodah Zarah that I referenced for you in Yud, that Aydei Mamon, she is mutter to her husband. V'diktek Rabbeinu Yaakov de Orleans, hastama asura. That would seem to indicate, if it's not for ransom, then she's asur to her husband. Upirish be'eshes kohen. He said it's talking about an eshes kohen being asura to her husband, the kohen, because we assume that the Akum did something to her. V'imkein kashal arav. Rav dahacha dekamer einosun ala yichud. What about Rav, who says einosun ala yichud? Yesh lomar sha'ani hasim. You could say it's different there, and then there are two different words in the girsa. Either shenechbasha or sheshahasa. Either one is fine for us. Imo kama yamim. She's with him for days. It's not just a matter of a brief interaction. V'hadarav ma'irishin siachta sha'achas. Ein lochush. Dimkein lo yinachta bas. Lav mavino yeshev estachas kohen ba'ala. So the bottom line out of this is that the Maharik quotes Tosvos, the Rosh, the Mordechai, to say that the woman who was alone with the Akum for some brief period of time, Shah Achas, is still Mutares to her Kohen husband. Right? That's the position of these Rishonim. But what do I do now with the Bahag? Right? The Bahag told me that's not true. The Bahag told me that if she's alone with an Akum, she's Psula LaKahuna. What do I do? So that's what the Maharik tries to deal with. Yeah. You want to say? No? Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I think the difference isn't really a matter of time, though. Isn't it also the fact that when Yeshua, as Tosfos points out, you're Mesura Miyado, he can do whatever he likes to you. So it's not just a function of more time. Isn't it also a function of under the control? Yeah, we know that that's why Yeshua is so important.
Right. I would have thought so. And yet you don't see the Rishonim mention that in this case.
Yeah, that's not what it places me when he says Shani Lakisha in the Sura Miyato. I thought you mean that she's now subject to whatever he wants to do to her.
So I hear you, and you're right, Tosfos has the words, the Fishi Misura Biado, but the emphasis seems to be on time, as he himself says, Yichud Muat.
Right, that's true.
Yeah. So the Ma'arik, faced with this problem, offers us two ways to harmonize the Bahag with Tosos Rosh Mordechai. First, he says to you in Sursi Gimel, V'rei l'chakama ashle rabave deshobiki agavna, V'abagav shekasvu halach gedos, V'viyan asmag v'lab kufchaf alef, U'mashma l'chorah depligia kol hane ravasa dila'el da'asri afilu b'sham u'etes. Right, the Bahag is going to prohibit even a brief period of time. V'afilu v'ena mesur b'yadam. Even if she's not mesur b'yadam. I'd like that, Michael. The dumya de ra'uah medaberes, in a case like speech, mikomakom hayiktsas nirolamar delo pligi. So he says you could say there's no disagreement. Ulahamid ahi the halachas gedolos the davka la osra lehinase lekahuna. His first answer is the Bahag is talking about where she is single, not where she's a married woman, and it's an issue of future marriage, not remaining married to her current husband. That's his first answer. Second answer. V'od yesh l'chalik v'lomar, dahasa medaber benistera adaita diznus. That what it's talking about there is not just nistera, when the Bahag said that she's usher to her husband. It's talking about where she's alone with the guy with intention for zinus. That's where this is a thing. Kedemash malishna de ra'ua medaberes. That's the implication of they saw her speaking. Klora mitchila hu medabrim yachad me'inyone tiflus. Vishuv ra'ua nisteres imo. They were speaking of tiflus. Here the definition of tiflus. You know, tiflus has multiple meanings in Shas. But the meaning of tiflus here is some form of znus, some form of lewdness. They were already seen having an inappropriate conversation. And then we saw that they went alone somewhere alone together. So that's why she went in to be alone with the guy. It was a function of that earlier conversation. And then he brings in our discussion about Ze'iri. And he says, look, in our Gemara, Deparech, it's fine if you're Ze'iri who says Nisteres equals Medaberes, El Rav Ashi, my Medaberes? And they answer, Lishnama al Rav Ashi. It should be Rav Ashi, but he has Rav Ashi. The Umishani, Lishnama al Yonaka. Va'ata yesh lismala. He says, I'm shocked. Adrav, la Ze'iri kasha. Amailo ksani nistera behedja. I don't understand. Ze'iri, why didn't it say nistera according to you? Deleka lemiti, and then there would be no confusion. Va'amai naka medaberes. Why didn't it say medaberes? And so he gives the answer. You jump to the part that I bolded. Didavka b'medaberes te'ika raglayim ledavar hu depalig Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua only says what he says where it's medaberes, where there is a lewd type of a conversation. He has no problem. Rabbi Yeshua has no problem trusting her if she is talking to the guy about the time of day or the weather or, you know, something in the, in business. The issue is you're having a conversation that goes towards those types of matters. That's where this becomes an issue. And Ze'iri says that's where, if they have such a conversation and then they are alone together. That's Ma'arik's second answer. Clear? Is that clear? I hope. I'm not getting yeses. Why did our Gemara not ask Ze'iri about our Mishnah? Our Mishnah said Medaberes, right? You said it means Nistera. Why is it that the Gemara never said to Ze'iri the way it said to Ravasi, Ravasi, you say it's Nivala. Why does our Mishnah say Medaberes? Right? You asked Ravasi the question. Why didn't you ask Ze'iri the question? So we gave two answers before, but our third answer, the Ma'arik's answer, is because Medaberes means they were having some kind of a lewd conversation that is the type of conversation, as the Rashash says, that takes place in private. So really, Medaberes feeds into Yichud.
Not only you really have to listen and to hear exactly what they were talking about.
Correct. Correct.
Very okay.
Yeah.
One of those microphones.
Now, there is some debate. Yeah, Daniel.
At some point, shouldn't it be obvious if they did something then? If they're speaking in
the class? Yeah, you sort of wonder why Rabbi Gamliel now thinks that that her status is okay. Rabbi Gamliel is like, wow. But that's exactly true. Rabbi Gamliel is willing to, even in this circumstance, and as we said last time, even without Turube, on the basis of her bari, you know, say, nope, she's fine. No worries. We're good. But you're right, it makes Rabbi Gamliel very remarkable.
He also said that the Nivala, which we even knew they had relations.
That's a good point. The whole thing is a chashash of, unless you're going to talk about the Eishes Kohen. Unless you tell me you're talking about an Eishes Kohen, right? The Nivala is not. Then Nivala is only in terms of the kid. There is some debate, actually, on this point as to where the harmonization of the Bahag and Tosas Rosh and Mordechai applies. The Beis Shmuel in Source Yadalid says that that this applies to both an Eishes Kohen and to a Penuya. He says, he brings you the Chalkas Mechokek who disagrees, and then he gives you his own idea. So I think I'm going to say it outside of it, because it's backward the way he does it. But the Beis Shmuel's own position is that and I actually gave you a table in Source Tesvav because I thought that might be helpful. The position of the Beis Shmuel is that she becomes asura to the husband, to an existing husband, or to a future, to an existing Kohen husband, or to marry a Kohen in the future, if she's single right now, if she's having this lewd conversation. That's the way the Beis Shmuel understands the Ma'arik. What the Ma'arik is saying is she is asura because of the lewd conversation, whether for a future marriage or for the current marriage to a Kohen. Whereas the Chalkas Mechokek says no. The Chalkas Mechokek says Ma'arik only intended to say this regarding a woman who is single and wants to marry a Kohen in the future. If she's an Eishes Kohen right now, she's fine to the Kohen, even though there was Tiflus. That's the position of the Chalkas Mechokek. The Beis Shmuel does not like that at all. And the reason the Beis Shmuel doesn't like that is because the Marik's case that he was talking about, this was a tshuva about an actual case. His case was an Eishes Kohen. And he wrote that she was muteres to the husband because there was no yichud l'shem znus. Which implies that if I know that the yichud is l'shem znus, she would be asura to the husband, despite there being a marriage right now. So the position of the Beis Shmuel is that the Marik is saying this whether she is married or she is single. If there was a lewd conversation beforehand, then we're going to have the Yisr. Whereas the position of the Chalkas Machokek is only a Pnuya. An Eishes Kohen is going to be fine, even though there was a lewd conversation beforehand. That doesn't change the status. I gave it to you on the sheet in Source Tes Vav. You have the first answer of the Maharik is that an Eishes Ish is always going to be muteris to her husband, whether there was such a conversation beforehand or not. It'll still be the Bahag's position, whereas a Pnuya is always going to be Asura to marry a Kohen afterwards. And then his second answer, according to the Beis Shmuel, is that she is going to be, if she's an Eishes Kohen, she's going to be Asura to their husband with Tiflus. If she's a Pnuya, she's going to be Asura to a future Kohen with Tiflus. But without Tiflus, they're all Mutter. And the Chakas Machokek takes the position that no, he says all of them are mutter. The only one who's usher is the Pnuya in a Tiflus situation. Just one last note on this, a side note. The Note of Yehuda, which I brought you here in Source Tes Zayin, says that the Beis Shmuel is incorrect in applying the Maharik to all married women. He says the Maharik only said this for an Eishes Kohen, but I think I'm going to skip going through the Note of Yehuda because I don't think it's going to help anybody at this point. The bottom line is, the three answers for Ze'iri, and then we move on to the Shtuki discussion, is either Medaberes equals Nistera, or Medaberes is Lashon Naki, which is different from Lishna Ma'alya because its meaning is obvious, or Medaberes is what we actually meant. The Yichud only causes Isser if there is lewd conversation as part of the package of what is happening. That's the idea. Okay, let's move on to the other question that we have to deal with in our Gemara, which is the question of whether our Mishnah is the same as the Shtuki. This will have ramifications regarding a woman's credibility to identify the father of her child born out of wedlock. So this becomes, unfortunately, practical in certain circumstances. So first we have to start by asking, what's a Shtuki? What's a Shtuki? Anybody know? Doesn't know who the father is. Literally, the meaning of shtuki? Right. The mother silences the kid. Take a look at the Mishnah in Kiddushin and Source Yitzayin. The Mishnah there tells us in its list of the Yuchsin, Geirei, right? Geirim. Charurei, Avadim who have been freed. Mamzerim. Nesinim, the whole Givoni Parsha that we're not going to go through right now. Shtuki, as well as Asufi, Kulam Mutarin Lavo Ze Bozet. They may marry among these yuchsin. Ve'elu hem shtuki. What's a shtuki? Kol shu makir es imo, ve'eno makir es aviv. He knows who his mother is. He does not know who his father is. Whereas a sufi is kol she nesaf min ashuk, ve'eno makir lo es aviv lo imo. A kid whose parentage is not known at all. We don't know who the father is. We don't know who the mother is. We found them on the doorstep, and that's that. They didn't have a ring doorbell. We have no idea who the kid's parents are. Abba Shaul hayakore l'shtuki biduki. Abba Shaul disagrees. Abba Shaul says a shtuki is actually what we call biduki. What does that mean? Says the Gemara. Abba Shaul hayakore l'shtuki biduki. My biduki. What is a biduki? Ilem ashabodkines imo v'omeres l'kashin ivalti nemenes. If you're telling me that it means that we investigate the mother, we ask her who's the father, and she says it was a kasher guy, and she is believed, Kiman, then who is that like? Rabbi Gamliel. That's like Rabbi Gamliel, right? Rabbi Gamliel already told me that if she says the father is legit, right, in our Mishnah, right? Rabbi Gamliel says, if she says the father is legitimate, then the kid is kosher. So why do I need Abba Shaul to tell me a shtuki is fine because we were bodek his mother? So So the answer is, the Abba Shaul Adifa made the Rabbi Gamliel. Abba Shaul is telling me something more than Rabbi Gamliel is telling me. Why? The Ime Hasam Hava Amina Hasam Derov Ksher and Etzla. Because if I just had Rabbi Gamliel, I would have said Rabbi Gamliel is talking about specifically where most are Ksherin. Aval Hecha Derov Psulin Etzla Imalo. But maybe if most are Pasul, then not. Sricha, so therefore you needed to say what Rabbi Shaul says to teach me even where they're rov psulin, we actually do trust her. And Rava says, halacha ke Abba Shaul. So what emerges here is, in the event that the mother, in the event that I don't know who the father is, this kid can only marry from these yuchsin. However, if the mother says, I know who the father is, father's a kosher, even if Rov Psulin, we're going to believe her. That's what emerges so far from this Gemara. Daniel.
Why does
he say he's a Rov Psulin? Why do we say that he's talking about even in the case of Rov Psulin? I don't remember anymore. It's there in it, in the sugya. Right. No, I understand what you're asking, but I don't remember from the sugya there. I have to go back to the sugya. It's a good question. So, if you have a case where the child does not know his father, then the kid is a shtuki. So is that the case in our Mishnah? The answer is, it's a machlokas Rashi and the Rambam, and it will bring us back to a point that we made when we learned the sugya last week. The Rambam thinks that that our Mishnah is indeed a shtuki case, who is saved by Rabbi Abba. Rashi says no. Rashi says in our Mishnah, it's actually not the shtuki case at all. What do you mean? So the Rambam says our case is indeed a potential shtuki. This is the Rambam as explained by the Magid Mishnah, but I think that's the way we take it. Remember that we said in our Gemara that both cases in our Mishnah are, like Ravasi, are cases where the woman had relations. Just one is talking about her and one is talking about her daughter. So take a look at the Rambam. The Rambam is in Sois Yudches. Penuya shera'ua shenivel ala echad v'halachlo. We saw that this woman was with a guy. There was Bia. And then he left. Va'amrula mihu zeh shaba'alayich. And they say to her, who was the guy? Va'amra adam kosher. She says he's a kosher. Harezu ne'amenes. She's believed. Veloahod, not only that, ela afilu ra'uha medaberes, even if they saw that she was pregnant, va'amru la meminis abra, and they said, who are you pregnant from? Va'amra me'adam kosher, and she says it was from a kosher guy. Hare zu ne'emenes v'tiya buteres le'kohen. She is ne'eman, and she's mutter to a kohen afterwards. She is approved for kahuna. When is that true? B'shia makom shnivala bo parashas drachim bo bekonisha besado shakol ovrin sham hayurov ovrin sham ksherim. It's where you have rov ksherim, and the rov ha'ir are also ksherim. So you have the mala b'yuchsin and shne rubos. Roa shnivala ba'ir. If she's in the city, onis abra ba'ir, they became pregnant in the city. Then you have a different story because now it's kavua mechza mechza. If she got married lo teitze, because she says the guy was kosher. But lechatchila, we aren't going to want to do it. So, what we're saying right now is, the first case in our Mishnah is about her status, and Rabbi Gamliel says she is able to marry a kohen. What about the second case, the case of the child? So that the Rambam brings in Source Yates. Penuya shenis abra miznus. She became pregnant from znus. Amru la mahu aubar azeh o ayalad azeh. They ask her, what's the status of the fetus, or if he's born already, what's the status of the kid? Im amra ben kasher hu uli Yisrael nivalti. If she says this is the son of somebody with kasher yichus, and he is a Yisrael, or doesn't matter about Yisrael, but he's a Jew. Harei zo ne'emenes ve'a ben kasher. She is believed. The kid is kasher. Even if Rov Psulim. Did you notice anything strange in this Rambam? It's in the words that I bolded. Yeah. Michael points it out. It says Ben. Who brought in a Ben? We've been talking talking about a bas. Our Gemara talked about a bas. What's the Rambam doing when he throws in ben? We had a whole discussion last week. We wanted to know, why does the Gemara specify bita for the second case and not bina? And we brought explanations for why it is brought regarding a daughter, right? The Ritva said, you could have said bina, it would have applied also. However, we used bita because the bita's psul, the psul of the daughter, would mirror that of the mother, the issue of who they can marry. As opposed to with the son, where it's about the impact of his bia on a woman he is with. So we wanted it to mirror the mother, and therefore we gave the daughter. That was the Ritva. The Gaonim we brought in the Shita Mekubetza said no, it only applies to the daughter. It doesn't apply to a son. The son doesn't need us to be machshir him because he can still marry a kohenes even if he is from a psul, right? Only unless it's a nusin or mamzer. But the Rambam brings the case regarding a son. The Rambam doesn't a daughter, even though the Gemara's language was daughter. Isn't that strange? I mean, here absolutely, because it's going to matter. It's going to affect what the Rambam. Yeah. Well, yes. The answer is yes. We are medayig in this way. And especially when all these Rishonim are asking, and the Gaonim are asking, hey, why did it say bas? Right? And the Rambam just throws in ben. It's a very strange thing for him to do. So that's the Rambam. But the key for us for the moment is that the Rambam is saying that the case in our Mishnah of Ish Ploni V'Koenu is a potential shtuki. This is the case of shtuki. The mother is saying the kid is born to a kosher guy, and Rabbi Abba and Rabbi Gamliel are saying, we'll go with that. We've saved the shtuki. Rashi, on the other hand, says no. Our case is not a potential shtuki at all. Our Mishnah, let me say this better. Our case is not a potential shtuki at all. In our case, everybody will agree this kid is kosher for the kahal. This kid could be with a random Jew. The only question is, could this kid be with a Kohen? That's our issue. Our issue is only Kahuna. Our issue is not Psul Kahal. That's the way that Rashi reads it. According to this, the first case was to show that Rabbi Gamliel says this woman is mutter for Kahuna. The mother is mutter for Kahuna. And the second case is not to show that the kid is kasher l'kahal, but to show the kid is kasher l'kahuna. Not like with a shtuki. I feel like I skipped a step. I'm looking back at my notes and realizing I skipped a line that I think was important and that probably would make things a lot more clear. If you take the view that our Mishnah is talking shtuki, then the issue is this child eligible lavo bakahal? Right? Is this child eligible to marry a Jew? Period. Which Jew? Can they only marry the Charuri and the Mamzeri and the Nasin and all of that? Or can they marry everybody? If this issue is shtuki. If your issue is not shtuki, then they're kasher lavo bakal. The question is, can they marry a Kohen? So when the Rambam brings this, the Rambam says that what we're talking about here is lavo bakal. The issue of being able to marry a Jew, haben kosher. The language that Rashi uses is not that. If you look at Rashi in source Chaf, Bebita, he says, im ha'uber hazen nekeva, tinase lekahuna, l'rabban Gamliel. The issue is ability to marry a Kohen, not ability to marry a Jew. That's the idea. Ditto on Yud Gimel Amid Beis. Rashi is going to talk about it there as well. They challenge Rabbi Yochanan in the sugya. I'm not even going to go into it. I brought it on the sheet in Chaf Aleph, but I'll just show you the Rashi on it, where again, Karshu Hu LeYuchsin Shem Nekeva Hi Tinase LeKehuna. That's the discussion Machshir Ba, Machshir Babita, is that discussion there that I said we might get into. So the answer is we're really not going to. I'm just there's more we could have said on it. But Rashi says that it's a kahuna issue, and that's why Rashi brings the case davka regarding a daughter. One second, give me 1 second. That's why it matters that it says daughter. Meaning, if you're talking about ability to marry kahuna, it's only relevant to a daughter. If you're talking about lavo bakahal, then it's son and daughter. So by the Rambam invoking son, that tells you that the Rambam believes that this is about shtuki and kahal. That was the diuk, which I fumbled, but I hope I recovered. The point is that by the Rambam saying it's about son, that means the issue is not about marrying kohanim. A son is able to marry a kohenes even if his yichus has something problematic in it. The fact that the Rambam mentions son is what tells us the issue is kahal, not kahuna. Yes. Right. So it's a good question, but it depends on how we read our sugya. Is our sugya a shtuki case or not? Right? If I take Rashi's view, then our discussion is not a shtuki discussion at all. Right? Rashi says, if the mother says, so and so is the father, this kid's not a shtuki. Our only question is, can he marry a kohen? Okay. And Rabbi Gamliel is saying yes. On that basis, he can marry a kohen. Yeah, that would be the shtuki. The shtuki who Abishal redeemed.
Okay.
Yeah.
So why is that correct that according to Rashi, even Rabbi Yeshua would agree that there's no problem with the marrying another with the woman marrying another Jew. The only issue is around kahuna, right? Even Rabbi Yeshua would agree on that.
If I take Rashi's read,
Rashi's view, the whole Machlokes
is only about kahuna. That's correct.
Everybody would agree she can marry another Jew.
That's what it looks like. Good, good. Hold that thought. You are correct. So why is it that Rashi doesn't think our case is a potential shtuki? Rashi and the Rambam have different language regarding the shtuki definition. We saw the Mishnah in Kiddushin that said the shtuki knows who the mother is, doesn't know who the father is. Take a look at the Rambam in Source Chaf Gimel. The Rambam says, I'm jumping to the part where that I bolded, Vizehu hanikra shtuki, shemakires imo ve'eno makires aviv, vadai. Who threw that in? He knows who the mother is. He doesn't know who the father is with certainty. That includes our Mishnah. Right? Our Mishnah you don't know with certainty. You just know the mother is saying this is the father. That's all. Whereas Rashi says that's not what it is. Rashi says in Chav Dalet, Ve'eno makiras aviv ukshekore ploni abba imo mishat kaso. When he says, so and so is my father, his mother silences him. In other words, the mother doesn't claim a paternal identity at all, which is not our Mishnah's case. So the Rambam will say, our Mishnah is that. Our Mishnah is that. She says this is the father. But the kid has no certainty about who the father is. Ergo, that means our Mishnah is a shtuki case. However, Rashi says, no, once the mother says, so-and-so is the father, that's no longer shtuki b'chlal. That's Rashi's read. Why does Rashi say the mother's claim is meaningful? Why is it that he thinks that? It's the Gemara in Kedusha 9 Gimel Amad Aleph. And here I have to give a lot of credit to an article by Rabbi Mordechai Levy, who I'm going to be quoting shortly. The name of the article is... Where is it? Yeah, Beberu Yuchsin Umalas Yuchsin. It's going to be in Source Lamed. He without him I would have been very lost. If you take a look at Source,
nowhere does it say that she identified him.
Ish ploni v'kohen hu.
Ish ploni.
Ah, hang, I'm coming back to that. Hang in there. You're right. Hold that. I'm not there yet. Okay. The Mishnah in Kiddushin, in the Gemara in Kiddushin, I should say, in Soros Chafhei, Elohein Shtuki. This is a Shtuki, Kol Shemakir es Imo, Enamakir es Avu. He knows the mother, he doesn't know the father. So Amar Rava, Devar Torah Shtuki Kasher. Rava says that biblically the Shtuki is fine. My time, why? Because Rok Sharon Etzla, Mi Upsulan Etzla, most men are kosher to her. Only a minimum are puzzled to her. The Asli Inu Legaba called the Parish Meruba Parish. And if they go to her, called the Parish Meruba Parish. My Amrit, what are you going to be concerned about? Dilma Asli I Legabayu, if she goes to him, then it's Kavua. It's no longer called the Parish. Now it's Mechza Mechza. Vatara Amra, no, because I have Xeris Akasuv, Lo Yavo Mamzer. Mamzer vada yhuda lo yavo. Somehow the Gemara extrapolates from a mamzer shall not marry in that it only means a mamzer vadai. Mamzer safek is still allowed to marry in. Bekal vada yhuda lo yavo, bekal safek yavo. Fine. Umatam amru shtuki pasul. Well then why is a shtuki pasul? If mide oraisa, we're okay either because of rov or because mamzer is only mamzer vadai, then why is it that you're telling me the shtuki is no good? It's a derabanan. We're concerned he might end up marrying his sister. To which the Gemara says, then why is a shtuki allowed to marry a shtukit? Why are you not worried then about marrying the sister? Because we kind of assume that the guy isn't that prolific, that he's produced sons and daughters like that. So then we say he shouldn't marry a bat shtukit. Maybe he's going to marry his sister from his father. Lo shchicha, hachanami lo shchicha. Well, in that case, why are you worried at all, shema yisa achoso? You're telling me you're worried about him marrying his sister, but on the other hand, you don't apply that in all the circumstances where he might end up marrying his sister. Ela maila asu biyuchsin. It is a maila in yichus. So the simple read of this sugya, which is the read of the Rambam in Source Chavav, in Hachos Yisurei Bia, Perek Tesva Halacha Chav Aleph, is that Gzeras HaKasuv permits a safek mamzer, but the Shema Yisach also concern leads to an Isir Dirabanan for a Shtuki, right? That's the simple, straightforward read of what we just said in the Gemara. That's how I would have read that. The Isir Dirabanan is because of Maila Asu B'Yuchsin. That's the Rambam in Source Chavav. You can read it yourself and see. However, some resuscitate the Shema Yisach also idea as though the sister marriage is somehow part of this issue. In other words, Shema Yisach also didn't die as an argument. That argument still remains. The Shita Mekubetzes, quoting the Gaonim in Source Chav Zayin, he quotes Roshira and Rabbeinu Hai to say, Tre gavne shtuke havi. There are two kinds of shtuke. Chad min hon, shtuke shumi pnuya she'ibra velo nivdaka ima v'amalakasha nivalti. One of them, single woman becomes pregnant, and nobody asked her, and she never said the guy was kasher. She never identified the father. For that one, we say he might end up marrying his sister. If it's a daughter, then maybe she marries her brother. But Abashol's shtuki is actually kosher. We ask the mother, what's the nature of the kid? And she says, Me'ish ploni kosher. Divadai lekrovim diminahu ploni usher. We treat this guy as the father. Naming names, right? Ploni has to be somebody, otherwise why are we prohibiting the relatives? The kid is usher to relatives of the man who has been named as the father, and mutter to everybody else. And even lekahuna. There are two kinds of shtuki. Where the mother speaks up, we treat that as identification of the father, and the kid is now mutter to others. Yes. Versus to the kid. I don't want to go there. I've got too much to do here. Okay. Sorry. I'm looking at the clock and realizing I have 6 minutes. Rashi also brings this in. Rashi resuscitates it also. If you look in Source Chavches, he resuscitates the argument of Shema Yisa Achoso Me Aviv. Right? I'm not getting into the sugya that Rashi is commenting on. I just want to show you. Rashi brings the concern. Maybe he's going to marry his sister. So does the Ra'av Yah, as quoted by Rabbi Levi in his article in Source Chavtes. I brought it from him. I didn't go back to the Shut Rav Yah to check it. He brings the argument of Shema Yisa Achoso. I don't understand. You rejected Shema Yisa Achoso in the Gemara. Why is everybody bringing back Shema Yisa Achoso? We said it wasn't so. So Mordechai Levi makes the argument, and you could see it here in Source Lamed. He says, what the Gemara was actually saying was this. The concern that he might marry his sister would not be enough to warrant an Isser Kahal on its own. However, since we have a unique lower mala of Safek Mamzer, Chazal lumped in other Sfekos of Shtuki and Asufi in it. In other words, when I read the words mala asubiyuchsin, I think what that means is exactly what you thought. There is a higher level of concern that we have when we're dealing with certain yuchsin like a Kohen. He says that's not the way they're reading it. They're reading it as Chazal created a ma'ala in yuchsin, in the Asara yuchsin, in the list of possible lineages. They created a unique layer for Safek, and because of Shema Yisa Achoso, they put Shtuki on that layer. If you look in Source Lamed, he says, and the part I bolded, Mishikvar Yesh Dargas Yuchsin Shal Sfekos, Ra'u Rabbanan Lichlol Shtuki Va'asufi, Shal Avdana Gemara V'Hemshech Oso Amud, Yachadim HaSafek Mamzerin V'Likba'a Osem B'Mala P'chusa Shebi Yuchsin. It's a whole other read of the phrase, Mala Asu B'Yuchsin. Right? I have to be honest with you, it doesn't fit any other case of ma'ala that we see in Shas. All the other ma'alos are higher levels of things. I can't find any other use that's like this. It's a tortured read. However, says Rav Levi, answering Tommy's point, he says that explains the word yuchsin. Because ma'ala in yuchsin should be regarding kahuna. It should not be regarding kahal. That's the point. It's Dafka about that. It's Dafka Kahuna oriented. I don't think it's in the piece that I brought here, but it's in his article that he makes that Yuchsin point. So what we're saying here, the point here that emerges from this is that Rashi says the mother's claim is meaningful because our concern about the Shtuki's ability to marry somebody is lest they marry the sister. Once the mother points to a guy, and says, that's the father, at that point, there's no concern that he might marry his sister anymore. Right? Because now we know who his sisters are. Since Rashi believes that we trust her to identify who the father is, therefore, there's no more need for a mala b'yuchsin for a shtuki. You follow? And therefore, just to close the loop on that, Rav Levi also makes the argument that within Rashi's view, even if she never names the father, even if ish ploni v'kayin, who means she says ploni, Tommy, even if she says ploni, she doesn't name him. As long as the mother says, I know, and I'm going to make sure that he doesn't marry his sister, that's already good enough. That's already sufficient. It could really be that ploni means ploni. That's the idea. So our case is not a shtuki, because the mother said so. Then why does the Rambam disagree? So my answer is the Rambam disagrees, because the Rambam thinks that Shema Yisa Achoso was thrown out in the Gemara. That wasn't the issue for shtuki. It was never Shema Yisa Achoso. And therefore the mother saying, I know who the father is not helpful. However, Rabbi Lowy says it's not just that. Because the Rambam doesn't believe that we follow her word, lahakel. The Rambam doesn't think that we follow her word, lahakel. The Shita Mekubetzes brings the view of the Rimagash to say, I'm just going to say it outside because it's 1128, but it's in this last piece from Rabbi Levi and Lama Gimel. The Shita Mekubetzes quotes the Rimagash to say that ledivrei hamachshir ba machshir bebita does not work to identify the child as a Kohen. In other words, if the woman says, so-and-so, the father, is actually a Kohen, we don't give this kid Kohen status. If she says, Ploni the Gvir is the father, we don't give the kid Yerusha from the mother. from that father, I should say. Excuse me. We don't trust her to that extent. Livra machshir ba machshir bevita does not mean we've now identified paternity for all intents and purposes, says the Rimagash. And therefore the Rambam, in Hilchos Yisurei Bia, Perek Tesvav, Halacha Yedalid, says we only follow her ID of the paternity, lahachmir, not lahakel. So that's why the Rambam will not believe that her statement of this is the father is sufficient in order to take you out of shtuki category, and therefore our discussion is a shtuki case, not a case of psul kahuna, but a case of psul kahal. So what emerges from all of this is simply to say, we have a machlokas Rashi and the Rambam about whether our discussion is about kahal or whether our discussion is about kahuna. According to Rashi, our discussion is about kahuna. According to the Rambam, our discussion is in fact about kahal, and therefore, according to Rashi, the case is going to be about a bas, a daughter, and her ability to marry a male kohen. Whereas according to the Rambam, the discussion is going to apply to a ben as well, and ability love of a kahal. I apologize, that was not as clear as it could have been, but I hope the summary line at least was. All right, and we didn't get to the Pesach piece. Sorry? So you can find it online. If you Google any of the phrases here, I don't remember where I found it anymore. I found it by accident when I was looking for something else.
Is it Google or something?
It was not a note, sir. It was Google. Yeah. Shkaya.